Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Places for the show.
Spring Awakening was so hard to describe. 1891 Germany, rock music, there's children in it.
The gay scene, abortion, the sex, the suicide. There was never anything.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com.
Like this that's ever happened on a stage.
The controversial nature meant that we never thought about Broadway,
but it touched a nerve.
We became rock stars.
Hello and welcome to an extra special bonus episode of Musicals with Cheese. And I'm joined today by my good friend Elizabeth Esten. How are you doing, Liz?
Hello. I appreciate we're friends on the main feed.
On the, main
on the Patreon, we're barely friends.
Yeah, we're bitter enemies on the Patreon feed, but here we're buddies.
We're friends.
I've actually had a rough day today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my best friend showed me their vagina with a lamp.
A desk lamp.
And truly it was one of the most uncomfortable things ever. Honestly, I hope that 10, 15 years down the road we aren't asked about this or have to tell this story in a recounting documentary.
Yeah,
really,
especially when that's on a major streaming service.
It would make everyone uncomfortable, including the audience of that documentary.
Indeed.
We're talking about Those You've Known, the Spring Awakening documentary that just hit HBO Max over this last week. What is your history with Spring Awakening, Liz?
I listened to it when I was a teenager.
The perfect time, actually.
As a lot of people did, especially back in 06, but I was not a teenager in 2006. So.
Yeah, you were a 10-year-old.
I was 10 years old in 2006. So I did not listen to Spring Awakening, but I listened to it later on when Spotify became an accessible thing. So, you know, yeah. I was alive pre-Spotify. Yeah.
But did you like it? Did you like Spring Awakening?
I liked it. I didn't know the plot at the time because I'd only listened to it.
You're calling this the original Dear Evan Hansen where it's like, the songs are catchy. I wonder what the plot is.
Yeah, well, most people thought Dear Evan Hansen was about a gay kid. And it's like, no, for me, I thought Spring Awakening was about some just teens with sexual repression. And it's like, it's true. It is, but it's about a lot more than that.
Yeah, you got the abortions, the cult stuff.
The gay stuff.
Like, that's barely it. I feel like that doesn't get covered. The molestation.
Yeah.
The botched abortions.
Yeah, which is really apt nowadays.
Yeah. There's your trigger warnings. That's a lot of what this covers. But this is a documentary about the reunion concert that happened late last year.
Yes. Yes.
Where they brought the original cast of Spring Awakening all into this theater to perform all those songs again for the first time and blah, 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 blah. We've seen it before. Should have just done a pro shot, but now we're stuck with this documentary and knowing that Lea Michele grabbed a desk lamp and forced Jonathan Groff to stare at her lady bits.
I was like, the best part of that moment is Jonathan Groff's reaction to the fact that Lea Michele told them that story.
Because he probably would have went to his grave with that.
Totally. He's just like, I can't believe she told you that.
She said a lot of weird things in this documentary. It just felt like she was trying to say things to be sure that she got into the documentary, to be honest.
Yeah, she did, though. She got in.
Yeah, she got in. Like, the entire concert was not arranged by Lea Michele or Jonathan Groff. It was, what was that actress's name?
Lauren Pritchard?
Yes.
Lauren Pritchard. Apparently, Lauren Pritchard had a dream that they all came together and sang the songs again. And she called Jonathan Groff, was like, we need to do this. And then they organized it, and then it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Lea Michele was like, this will help me change my image after I got exposed for being a terrible person on the set of Glee.
This does feel like the Lea Michele redemption tour a little bit, doesn't it?
Especially considering the funny girl of it all that's happening.
It feels suspicious.
I don't know how I feel about this Lea Michele redemption arc.
I feel bad about it, and it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Can I say, Spring Awakening is a show that I like. I did an entire episode with Grace Aki on it. Go see my opinions there. It hit me right at the right moment when I was looking into theater. I really, really enjoyed it. However, I think that the original production is not the fullest version of it, and that the revival, the Deaf West revival, really got everything that right about this show that needed to be getting right.
Yeah, I really want to see the Deaf West one. I'm sure you have footage of it. So
I have tons. I was in New York when the Deaf West production was on, and I saw that and Fun Home together.
Love it. Yeah, that's amazing. It's a great combo.
Yeah, a brilliant comedy. It's a laugh a minute. So Spring Awakening, sexual repression, all that kind of stuff, and inability to communicate with your parents, and that was beautifully represented through the barriers of deaf and hearing people. Like, that really worked. And hearing about teaching deaf people how to, like, sing and act and react to music, because once again, deaf people have no concept of what music is, especially those born deaf. So telling them when to move to a beat is very difficult. And reading about all those stories is much more interesting than, like, Lea Michele being like, oh my God, we, like, partied and we spent the night in the theater.
Oh my God, we went to a farm in Pennsylvania.
And I wanted to die. It was the worst thing in the world. Like,
worst thing ever. I hate camping. And I'm like, you were on a farm in Lancaster, one of the most beautiful areas of the state. Like, fuck.
Not to be that guy, but I think me and Lea Michele would agree that sounded like a miserable experience to me.
I also hate camping, so I agree. But it's still a cool experience with your castmates to hang out at a farm in, like, one of the prettiest farming areas.
They're all underage drinking. They're all doing drugs. They're all walking around naked.
Skylar Astin brought the Coke. It's great.
Like, just looking at these literal infants drinking beer while driving a fucking roller derby car was very uncomfortable for me.
It's just, it's like, Lea Michele started this journey when she was 14.
Yeah.
She started a role where she has sex that in some versions is not super consensual, and other is other
in
versions.
In most versions it isn't.
One version, some enough, versions it's not. Some
she does
versions.
Not have enough context for sex to be able to give proper consent.
Yes, no matter what, it's sexual assault, really. No matter how you cut it. And she started as she was 14, played a character who was sexually assaulted and had a botched abortion.
And then, like, has proper sex on a stage in front of everyone.
And is topless?
Yep. 18 years old.
Dear God. Like, it's surreal to see children do all this sexual stuff.
You know, when you just hear about this in passing as stories, like, when they were older than me, it's like, of course, you're adults. Now that they're, like, 7 years younger than I am right now, it's like, no! Oh, God, these infants!
It's like they're 15 years old! Oh, my God!
Yeah, and it's weird. Want to know the biggest twist here that I always forget? Like, I know this information, but every time I relearn it, it's a surprise.
The Spring Awakening movie?
No. It's that Tom Hulce was the producer of the Spring Awakening musical.
I was like, is this the same Tom Hulce as the voice of Quasimodo in the 1996 Hunchback? It is.
It very much is.
I was like, no, this is not the same person. No.
I like Tom Hulce. He's a very nice man. He's a good Broadway producer. It sounds like he made all the right calls when he needed to.
I love how Tom Hulce is like, they're in Germany and they sing rock songs. This is cool. And everyone else is like, this is weird.
I feel like Tom Hulce just has a mind that really works in a way that I think the director also has. But hearing them fight about, like, whether or not to show a sex scene on stage, and the director's like, I'm going to do whatever I want because it's my last show to ever do.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he would go on.
Let's see.
What did he do? What's the director's name, by the way?
Michael Mayer.
Yes.
He did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more shows.
And what are they? What are they? Are there any, like, cancelable ones?
There's American Idiot. He did right after.
Okay, that makes sense. That lines up.
That's the reason I have a crush on John Gallagher Jr., I will say. Everyday Rapture? I don't know. On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever, the 2014 Hedwig revival.
That's a good revival. Yeah.
The Term My Surrender, Head Over Heels.
Head Over Heels, fuck yes. That show rocks.
Burn This and okay. Funny Girl 2022.
Funny, he goes in, doesn't bring back his old flame, Lea Michele from Spring Awakening. To very come do that. She really is a funny girl.
She is a funny girl indeed. She sang that song 6 times on Glee. So.
The thing is, we all know what she sound like singing that song. Like, there's no surprise to her doing
already,
that.
She sang Don't Run in My Parade 4 times on that show, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, as you'll hear later this week in our Funny Girl episode, that song is iconic in its own way, and I think a lot of it is just Lea Michele overplaying her Streisand hand a little too much.
I remember the first time I saw her sing it, she was like, I was like, this is a lot. Like, I was a kid, I never heard the song. I was like 11 or 12, maybe. I was just like, this is a lot.
Can I say a discovery I made while watching this documentary?
Yes.
I don't think I would enjoy spending any time with theater kids. I think I am too old to deal with this, and I respect all these grown-ass adults dealing with these literal children on stage every night, but holy shit, they're a lot.
Yeah, especially when they're young. Oh my god.
You know the only one that seems like to have their shit together when the show is actually put on?
Gallagher Jr.?
Gallagher Jr.
Gallagher Jr. He's so hot.
You know the second place in that contest, if we're having a contest like that? Skylar Astin. Skylar Astin seems to like be like the most boring guy at every party.
Skylar Astin's barely in this. He's like more famous than most of the ensemble at this point.
Yeah.
And he's barely in this.
Yeah, but the thing is, a thing I keep forgetting every time I revisit Spring Awakening, Skylar Astin has, like, the best musical moments in the album.
Yeah, he does, like, the main riff at the end of Touch Me.
Which is the best part of
Touch
Me.
Which they heavily feature, like, in the concert part, like...
I mean, how can you not? Because
it's amazing.
Yeah, and his voice has not skipped a beat. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of him on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but he...
I'm actually fine with him.
He's no Greg.
I love Santino, but it's just... My argument against Skylar Astin, my argument for Skylar Astin Greg is Greg changed a lot. So, like, it makes sense that he's not the same Greg. So, Skylar Astin taking a different approach makes sense.
I agree.
And he was kind of put into a rough position, like playing a character that the fans already connect with a different actor who they like better. So
I think he did good for what he was given.
He did good for what he had to deal with in a one season arc, in a half a season arc. He's only the back half.
Yeah,
of the last
he's
season.
Very cute. He's very, very cute.
He's so cute. Also, Skylar Astin sings my second favorite Greg song. So.
I hate everything but you.
I'm a sucker for a Springsteen homage.
Yeah, and that's a very different song than Greg, Santino Greg would have gotten.
Yeah, no, Santino Greg probably wouldn't have pulled that off.
No, he would just say, oh, no, he'd do his deep voice kind of usual shtick.
Except for Greg's drinking song, he's just pretending to be Irish and failing.
I like Greg's drinking song.
I love it too, especially when he talks about having sex with a bush.
That's where that scar comes from sexing a bush.
No, but Skylar Astin is also very hot. There's some very attractive people in this.
Yeah, I will say, like, some of them, like, Jonathan Groff looks different, but he doesn't look bad. No. Lea Michele looks the fucking same. All credit to her. She looks identical to when she first put on the show.
She does.
Whatever that skin soothing that she's putting on every night,
whatever
it's working.
She's doing, keep doing.
Maybe if I didn't know how to read, my skin would look better. I go into that into our Funny Girl episode too. I talk about that entire thing. That's great.
She can't read in that?
No. Do you not know this?
No, I don't.
You should know this.
I don't know a lot about Funny Girl.
No, it's not even Funny Girl. This is just Lea Michele.
Oh. Okay.
The joke is that Lea Michele doesn't know how to read.
Oh.
You don't know this?
I've never heard this joke.
Literally, Google Lea Michele doesn't know how to read.
Okay, I'm going to Google it.
Enjoy this. This isn't patrons. This is going on the real feed. So
no, this is embarrassing for me.
But apparently, like, she like is very rarely seen reading. If she is given something to read, she hands it to someone else to read to her. Her tweets are very small and short, like mostly emoji based. So the Gleek fandom decided, oh, Lea Michele doesn't know how to read.
Oh, okay. All right, I found an article. I got it. Okay.
Okay, what's the article say?
Lea Michele. 9 key points of evidence. This is from the Tab.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Now we gotta hear the evidence.
Okay. Number one, Lea Michele can't read and has her lines fed to her because she was a child actor on Broadway and never had time to go to school.
Okay.
Two, she did the show Spring Awakening for years and years because because she only had to memorize the show once and it would make it easier for her. Lea Michele, number three. Lea Michele to Scream Kings after Glee, another Reimer show, because he already knew her literacy secret and could feed her lines. Number four, on Glee as Rachel Berry, she always sung well known standards by Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion and never had to read the lyrics, which is that she sang a bunch of songs that she already knew. So I know that because I watch Glee, guys.
Yeah.
I watch all of it. In Your Eyes and Go Cabin, she uses a lot of emojis. If it's just emojis, Michelle wrote it. If it's words, someone else wrote it. If it's both, someone wrote the words and let her pick the emojis. Number seven, in pictures, Lea Michele signing books. The pen is not touching the books. It's simply hovering above. Number eight, her book, hilariously titled Brunette Ambition, doesn't have a lot of words. Instead, has more photos, recipes, and workouts. Number nine, in a picture of her signing a wall, her name is already written and she's just drawing a line under it.
So the evidence is clear, Liz.
And then in March of 2018, Lea Michele tweeted responding to all this, loved reading this tweet and wanted to write you back, literally laughing out loud at all of this, love you.
Sure, Lea.
Surely you're not a literate.
No, what I'm I don't think Lea Michele's a litter, but
I don't think Lea Michele's a litter. I think this is all stupid bullshit.
I think that meme is hilarious, though.
It's really funny, though.
Like, when the Beanie Feldstein review came out, like, about her not being able to, the joke literally all day was Lea Michele would be so excited to read these reviews if she could read.
That's what those tweets meant.
Yeah.
I was very confused by those tweets.
So yeah, that's our Lea Michele doesn't know how to read.
That's our Lea Michele corner.
Yes, it'll add a little preface to when it comes up again in Funny Girl later this week.
Yes, no, this is your setup for the Funny Girl
episode. This really is our prelude to the Funny Girl episode.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we barely talked about the vagina story.
Why don't you tell the vagina story?
All right, I'll tell the vagina story.
It's one of many wackiest shit things that Lea Michele says in this documentary.
Okay. So, Jonathan Groff and Lea Michele are so close that it's insane and it's very strange.
Yeah, she basically was in love with him. He was a closeted gay man and afraid to come out.
And Lea Michele was like, okay, cool, we'll be best friends. And then they got closer, knowing Lea Michele knowing the boundaries, but they still had to make out every night and simulate sex.
Yeah.
They got really close. And then at some point, they're talking about how close they are, which is a quarter of this documentary, honestly. And it's
mostly just about, like, Jonathan's full close. Did they ever do the banging?
So it's Lea Michele's just like, I'm so close, Jonathan. I showed him my vagina. It's just like,
we cut to Jonathan Groff. It's like, just starts laughing. He's like, I can't believe she told you this. Yeah, that's true.
His response is like, I can't confirm this. And starts laughing his ass off. Michelle's just like, very calmly is just like, so one day I took a desk lamp and I put it on my and they cut back to Jonathan Groff and she's like, she took a fucking desk lamp and showed me her vagina.
And he's like, I was curious and I thought the clitoris was like right above the hole, so it was just
it's more north.
Yeah,
line Jonathan Groff said.
Yep. Jonathan Groff, I love you. You're great in Mindhunter.
Convincing. It's really hard for me to watch Mindhunter, but you're great.
Why is it hard for you to watch Mindhunter? Because
Mindhunter is a
watch...
very intense show.
No, so... what are you talking about? It's just a bunch of old white men talking in rooms. At the end of the day, that's all that show is.
Yeah, Jonathan Groff fucks a lady every once in a while.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't believe you. I don't buy this. You're a great actor, Jonathan Groff, and I don't buy this.
Yeah. He's a lot of chemistry with Ed Kemper, I will say.
Yeah, he does have a lot of chemistry with Ed Kemper. He has a lot of chemistry with the old man that he's like hanging out with all
day. Yeah, his partner. Oh, yeah. I don't remember, there is some
sexual tension there.
I love those two. They have great chemistry.
Speaking of sexual tension, he has great sexual tension with Michael Cerveris in season two, who comes in.
Oh, yeah. I only watched a little bit of season two. Again, too intense to watch. So
it's just white men talking in rooms.
I know, but I got to the Charlie Chaplin scene. And it was a lot.
Chaplin?
Not Charlie Chaplin. Charles Manson.
Hey, come in. He started dropping his hat. He started tripping over his own feet. I was triggered.
I apologize to LP. Okay, the actor's name is Holton McCallany. Yeah. That's his name. He was in Creepshow, too.
He was also in the Justice League.
The Justice League.
He was.
I've not seen that.
You've never seen the Joss Whedon cut of Justice League?
I've never seen either cut of Justice League.
Oh, Oh, come on. Someone needs to edit like a proper 2-hour version of the Zack Snyder version so I can actually recommend people watch that.
Honestly, if I'm bored enough, I would do that, but I'm like, if you could take it.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. So smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah. So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
I don't care enough either.
Exactly.
Like, it's an okay movie. 4 hours is never enough for an okay movie.
Yeah.
It's too long. Back to Spring Awakening. Anytime they cut to concert footage, I was just like, man, Grace Aki's in that audience.
Yeah, she is.
That's
yeah.
all I thought about the entire time.
I forgot you mentioned that. Oh my God.
Yeah, and I was just like, and that's literally the only thought. Okay, I brought this up. Was this shot on film, or did they just add some weird-ass film grain to it?
Yeah, he just texted me this morning, asked me this question. Are you talking about the footage from the original show in 06?
No, the 06 footage, I think that was shot in 16mm. I'm talking about the new footage, like the new stuff. Like maybe they added a grain to make it look like it matched the 2006 stuff, but it definitely had some added grain to it.
I think it did. It was a little grainy at times. I don't know. My monitor did show it a lot, but a lot of it was just people against the black background talking. So
yeah,
it's difficult to gauge.
Well, I'm not even just talking about that. I'm talking about the B-roll they shot of them rehearsing and everything. Like it had a grain to
it. Yeah, I did feel like they added a fake grain a little bit.
Why? Like aside to like it'll match the 2000. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
It's a creative choice. You kind of need to back something like that up.
Yeah, maybe they just wanted to make sure they match the old footage, which is also very good, by the way.
The old footage is great.
It looks great.
Sometimes it's weird. Like, the Bitch of Living specific clips, I've seen that 1,000 times on the Aurora Spider-Woman channel. It is just weird how they shoot that in 4x3 very close up.
They just keep cutting to John Gallagher Jr. just, like, in the camera being like, hello.
John Gallagher Jr., MVP of the entire show. Moritz was always my favorite character in all Spring Awakening. He is so good. He has probably had the most effective career outside of the Broadway stage. Like, he's never done a musical outside of this and American Idiot. Am I wrong?
I think you're right.
Sounds right. I know he's been on Broadway before because Grace Aki once like was talking to him and his wife gave her a look.
But he's hot. I can't help it.
He is really hot. I feel
he's
like
so hot.
He's a very attractive man. And he's gotten better with age. Same with Skylar Astin. Like him and Skylar Astin look better today than they did in the early times.
Jerusalem is a play. That's a play. No, he has not a musical.
Oh, yeah, he should do a musical again. He's still got the voice for it. Like,
yeah, totally,
you can
yeah.
tell he was super nervous to return to it because he was like the only non-trained singer among the group.
But oh, yeah.
He's so good and his acting is so good.
Oh, yeah. I started having a crush on him when I listened to American Idiot. I didn't even know what he looked like. I was just like, wow, I love this person's voice. And my parents were simultaneously watching Aaron Sorkin's Newsroom when I was getting into this show.
Ooh, he's hot in that too.
And I was just like, is that the guy from American Idiot? He's so hot. Then I watched Broadway Idiot. It confirmed how hot he is.
He is so beautiful. But him just getting nervous and being like, I haven't sung in so long.
Oh, he's just, he's so cute.
Like, and then going out there and fucking killing it.
He nailed it. Like, Don't Do Sadness. They show him a lot of him singing at the concert. It's like, yeah, he's so good.
He's so good. And that's probably like my favorite like section of this entire musical. Like, keep the beard, John Gallagher. It looks good.
He's so scruffy. And I was like, I don't know why I find you so attractive still.
You're like, nothing. There ain't a fault in that face. Jonathan Groff looks puffier. Like, he I don't does. Know how to say, like, I don't know if it's the weird haircut he's got where he just slicks it back. It just looks weird.
Apparently, yeah, apparently back when they met, he had so much gel in his hair, it would just, like, be hard as a rock. Like, the new show I was talking about, it's just like, I couldn't even touch his head.
I mean, I believe that. I've seen the, like, Spring Awakening boot, like, 1,000 times.
I have not, So I didn't know the plot till I was like older and bothered to read the plot summary. And I was like, oh, this is what this show is about.
Yeah. I feel
that's
like
that's why he's so depressed.
I feel like they over romanticize this musical a lot, considering what it's about.
Yeah, it's a lot here. They do talk about how difficult it is to be in this musical. Like, John Gallagher could talk about to a point he couldn't commit suicide every night.
Yeah, and well, he had to leave. Michelle, and she is like, I just feel gross and don't like doing this
She's
anymore.
She's getting beaten every night at the end of Act One. She had a fake abortion. She was topless for a good chunk of that run. Like, dear God, I can't even imagine that.
Being tits out for Harambe every night doing that.
Oh, God.
I mean, I've talked to people that perform this role, Grace, and they always talk about the beating scene as being like one of the roughest scenes to perform.
Oh yeah.
And I can see it. I understand
can see that,
that
too. Especially if you experience like any type of abuse in your past, like having to like playing a character that doesn't know what it feels like and just like how wants to experience it. It's like must be very strange to like be someone who doesn't know when you know.
Mm-hmm. But we're talking a lot about things that happened in this documentary. Like, we don't quite talk about the documentary. Like, they go to Broadway, they flop at first, then they do the performance at the Tonys, and suddenly, like, they get all these Tony Awards, and...
Win 8, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then Lea Michele tells the story about how, on the day that the announcements, Jonathan Groff paid $50 at their local church, and she's like,
it's even worse, it was $1.
Oh, I thought you said he dropped a 50 in there.
Oh, did he say? I don't remember. I knew it was money.
It was he dropped a 50 in there. She's like, "What am I supposed to do?" And then she blames him for that donating that money got him a nomination and her not a nomination.
It's the most Rachel Berry thing she said this entire thing.
That is her being Rachel Berry, the character.
Yeah.
And then she also like, "Oh my God, they asked us to like spit in their playbills and stuff." I'm like, "Girl, you can just say that we were doing well. You don't have to say this stuff."
They asked for my hair, and I'm like, "What the hell,
girl? Why do you have to say the weirdest shit?" On the world.
Jack Out June is just like, it was a big hit. Like, that's all he said.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. A big hit.
Yeah, it was very cool. I didn't think I was going to be that good. And that was great.
Yeah, I was really happy for the cast and crew. And then she's like, they wanted my hair. They wanted us to spit on them.
No, they only wanted Jonathan Groff to spit on them.
God.
Apparently, he spits during Totally Fucked.
I believe it. That's a pretty intense song.
It is a very intense song. So.
And getting all those words out, like, oh, did I ever tell the story about seeing Fun Home? And I'm like 3 feet from the stage.
Oh, did you get spit on?
No, but I did get to see Michael Cera spit all over Judy Kuhn's face. And it's like a big glob right into her face because it's like a fight scene. And
that's nasty.
I you could kind of tell in his eyes that he didn't mean for that much to come out, but he had to be angry in the scene. But
Does Judy Kuhn play the wife?
Yeah.
Fun Home? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good show. Watch Fun Home. When's our Fun Home documentary coming out?
When's a Fun Home pro shot?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, bring everyone back, even the kids that are now in their 20s.
I mean, I'd love to see that small child sing Ring of Keys as an adult woman.
Yeah. Sydney Lucas on the Broadway Podcast Network has their own podcast.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, good for you, Sydney. Come on our show one day.
That'd be fun.
Don't do that. You're too good for us.
Oh, God.
There are moments where we're offered like very famous people to have on the podcast, and I'm like, no, they're too good for us. I don't really feel like embarrassing myself in front of this famous person while talking about cheese.
Yeah.
Really, I don't need that as part of my bucket list.
Especially considering your cheese rating is usually
Yeah, like the one time where I was like willing to do it was Kelly O'Hara, where I'm like, yeah, list your cheese ratings. Well, I felt like that was the way to do it.
That was a fun way to approach it. Like, yeah. Cheese rating your career.
Yeah, that was the only way to do it. I don't think I could pull that off again.
Kelly O'Hara's like, okay, cool.
She's like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then I love Kelly O'Hara. Answers questions a little too fast. She gives very direct answers. Not good for content.
Yeah, it's not good.
Very effective in any other form of life, but
Now, for content, you gotta give me long-winded.
Yeah.
Too many
like
words.
This. Like this entire episode we have here.
Be a Lea Michele be interviewed for this documentary.
Have you seen the clip of her when she's like talking about being a fiddler on the roof and now the other kids in school understanding? I'm so tired because I was up performing last night. So oh, I God. Didn't get as much sleep as the rest of you. And I was just so tired and no one understood. Honestly, Lea Michele's the fucking worst.
Yeah. When I did West Side Story in high school, I was talking to someone in the cast once. We had a class together and they were like, I'm so tired. Like dancing is so like, it's really hard. We're dancing all the time. For context, the night before, I'd stay after school till 9:30 to 10 o'clock building their set. So I got to school at like 7 a.m. I left school at 9:30, between 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night. Ugh. And I was like, that's great. I got home at 10 o'clock.
I had the same experience this past weekend when actors were sent home at around 8:45 at night. And I was there until 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
Film set, and then they're like, man, I'm so tired from yesterday. I was like, you're tired from yesterday? You're tired from yesterday?
I have coffee in an IV bag following me around.
Yeah, I was not doing well.
Oh no.
I was how's it doing? The I am not doing well Bo Burnham meme.
Oh God.
That was me walking around. Is there anything else we need to cover in this documentary?
One of my favorite Lea Michele moments was when she was describing the show to her husband.
Yeah.
And his main response was like, is this like Rent?
It's kind of like Rent. I think she was
like, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is.
It kind of is. It's a lot like Rent. I like Spring Awakening, but it is a lot like Rent. It's a pop musical about sexual escapades and all that. It's not unlike Rent.
No,
this
it's
is
not
more
like
teen-centric in a way.
Oh, it's Rent. It's a Rent. I don't know. I liked a lot of it. I really liked the scene where they talk about the Dark and Noel and they show both side by side comparison performing it.
I think Lily Cooper is just one of the best.
I love Lily Cooper so much. And Lauren Pritchard, I didn't really know who she was prior to this because I didn't really know much about Spring Awakening because I was listening to it. So I knew her voice, but like they're both really compelling people. And I'm like, why aren't they more famous?
Is there anyone else you're like, why aren't they more like John Gallagher Jr. makes sense, very talented, down-to-earth guy. Jonathan Groff, a little bit more eccentric, kind of weird, but it makes sense they got famous. Lea Michele, left field TV show that no one expected to be as popular as it was,
and despite her being a terrible person, she's a credible voice.
Yeah, but she had a little bit of the high-flying, adored, burned too bright, felt too
hard. She had one of those arcs in her career, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she will ever be as big as she was when she was 20.
No, and I think she's focusing more on being a parent right now anyway.
I don't know about that.
I don't really know.
And then you got the others, where a lot of the people that would end up being replacements got a little bigger than the people that were in the original cast.
Yeah, Skylar Rodriguez is in the ensemble.
Yep, and she's really popular now, and she would come back for the revival to play
Wendela and a bunch of other people.
Well, in the revival, she came back specifically right after having cancer and getting that diagnosis and all that, and played Ilsa.
Oh yeah, she did play Ilsa.
Yeah, and that was directed by Michael Arden, whose husband, Andy Mantis, was also a replacement for Honcho.
Oh wow, amazing.
Yeah, it's all connected, and Spring Awakening the Revival has a much more compelling story than Spring Awakening the original cast. I'm so sorry. Like, come on, it gave us, like, Allie Stroker.
Allie Stroker is so good. Oh my God.
Like, Patrick Page? Come on, so many good people.
Patrick Page was in the Jeff West version?
Yeah, he played the man.
Adult man. Okay.
He didn't, like, play as Melchior. There's a moment you know you're fucked. Not an inch more room to self-destruct.
Can we get an all Patrick Page adaptation of Spring Awakening? He plays all the men.
I can't tell about the dark. I know well.
No, he plays all the men, and we get like Amber Gray to play all the women.
Yes.
That'd be so compelling.
Yeah, I feel like Amber Gray would kill Whispering, not even gonna lie.
She would kill Whispering.
Yeah, Gideon Glick, I feel like he had a small, like, kind of uptick in his career.
I recognize Gideon Glick. I didn't, like, oh, he was in Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty big one.
He was in Spider-Man Return of the Dark, yeah, I see that. Yeah, he's had a bit of, he was in To Kill a Mockingbird, the yes. Broadway version. And he was in Mrs. Maisel.
He's currently, like, in Little Shop of Horrors 2 off-Broadway.
Which was directed by Michael Bayer.
It all comes together. He loves everyone except fucking Lea
Except
Michelle.
Lea Michele.
Not allowed to come back. And no, don't forget, no. Like, the national tour had Christy Altemare and Andy Mantis and Kimiko Glenn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, Gerald, I can never say his name, his last name, the guy from Be More Chill.
Which one? I know which one you're
Richie,
talking about.
The guy who introduced Jeremy to the Squip.
Yeah, I know.
Who came out, as, came out as bi.
I know. Yeah. Do you know who else was notable Broadway performers in the original Spring Awakening?
Who?
Jennifer D'Amano from Next to Normal, who originally was up for Wendla, but she was too young to whip out them titties for an audience, so couldn't do that.
Of course, you had to word it that way.
I had to word it that way. Alexandra Socha, who would go on to be in the off-Broadway production of Fun Home as Medium Allison.
Hell yeah.
Caitlin Cooninan, who would eventually be the lead in, your favorite.
I love the prom!
The prom! Taylor Trench, who I think would eventually become a very famous Evan Hansen.
I think so, yeah.
And Jenna Ushkowitz, who would go on to star in Glee with what's her nuts? Lea Michele.
Lea Michele.
And then Hunter Parrish and a bunch of other folks that are well knowns.
Matt Doyle too.
Oh yeah.
He was in Book of Mormon. He played a Hanshin.
Yeah, lots of good people. All these people are more interesting than the original cast, if I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, the original cast I did enjoy. Also, there's an ensemble member who I recognized, and I couldn't pinpoint her. And I was watching the second time, and I Googled her because I didn't remember her name. And I recognized her because she has a 2-episode arc on season 5 of Glee as a nurse that Sam falls in love with for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Glee people in Spring Awakening.
Yeah, Glee and Spring Awakening have, like, a one-line, like, connection.
Yeah, if only Skylar Astin was in Glee, I'd have a crush on him sooner.
He was in other things. He was in Pitch Perfect, which is
the reason I have a crush on him.
So Phoebe Strohl, who is Anna, she has the very... I think she's, like,
she
the most...
She was the nurse!
Yeah, I think she's the most fun interviewee in the entire documentary, where she just is done giving fucks.
She's it's just like, I don't know what this show is.
They're like, what do you think a Purple Summer is? I don't know, sex? Everything else in this show is about sex.
She had the best response to that question.
She's just done giving a shit, and I love it. I want her energy. And I also
Steven Sater was like, I don't even know what it means, and I wrote it.
That's also, like, William Finn's big response anytime anyone asks, what did your lyrics mean? He's like, I wrote it. It's whatever. It's on the page. It was 30 years ago. You think I ain't know tomorrow? I had a brain tumor.
I love how Doug and Cheek also the time side was like, I don't like theater. I just like, I also write music.
I like plays. I like music. I don't like it when they mix. And I think that explains American Psycho the musical.
It does. I've listened to it once and I didn't like it.
Yeah, Duncan Sheik is not great at musicals. I liked Alice by Heart, though, which I think was his reunion with Steven Sater.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I saw it on Spotify. Yeah,
I love Alice by Heart. It's at the time when me and Andrew were covering it, it was like the week before Dear Evan Hansen movie came out.
Oh, God.
And it like is a perfect comparison piece to Dear Evan Hansen about like how to do grief in a stage musical.
Oh, yeah. Which is really hard to do.
And it really nails it because the entire musical Alice by Heart is Alice coming to terms with the fact that her best friend is dying and trying to avoid that. And it deals with the youth and how fleeting life is. The same themes that you know go on in Dear Evan Hansen, except much worse.
Much worse.
Yeah, so listen to Spring Awakening, listening to Alice by Heart. Don't listen to American Psycho.
Just
no matter what.
It's
no
fine.
Wonder what people on the internet tell you. Oh, it's not that bad, actually. You know, no, it's bad. Shut up.
I didn't enjoy it, but I'm also, it's one of my favorite movies. And one other one of my favorite movies that was adapted to a musical was Waitress, and I have a deep-seated love for that musical, so it's not just the fact I like the movie.
Yeah, I like I like Beetlejuice the movie, and I like Beetlejuice the musical.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about just the movie. It's just how they do it.
Yeah.
Like, Waitress does it correctly for me. It fits the vibe of the movie, and the music is great. So, more people watch the movie. So.
Yeah, because, and you know what? A dead woman, like, work goes on and on and on.
That, also, the Adrian Shelley documentary on HBO, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, that's a very good documentary.
It's very good. It made me cry at least twice.
I'll honestly say it's probably a better documentary than the Spring Awakening one.
It is better.
I don't understand why they didn't just do a pro shot.
Honestly, I would have rather watched the concert.
Yeah, I would have just rather watched the concert. I don't give a shit about you people.
Yeah, honestly, if they did the thing where they like intercut between the 2006 version and the concert, just to, like, show a compare and contrast of how they've grown, that'd be way more interesting than hearing Jonathan Groff talk about Lea Michele's vagina.
Yeah, I don't need to hear about Lea Michele's vagina for the rest of my life.
I don't either.
Didn't she date Matthew Morrison? Isn't that a thing that happened?
Prior to Glee, she dated Matthew Morrison, which is funny because there's an episode of Glee where they're assigned to do duets, but there's an odd number, so she has to sing with Matthew Morrison as a teacher, and she falls in love with him. This is the plot line the show really did in its early days when it was good.
That was when it was good?
Yeah.
That was before the school shooting episode?
That was like 3 seasons prior, yeah. That's before there's a person who gave another person eating disorder.
Did she send someone to a crack house?
Yeah, Lea Michele sends Sunshine Curzon to a crack house so they can't be in Glee, the Glee Club. And then they go to the rival Glee Club.
Which
Jonathan Groff was in for a time. Jonathan Groff's also on Glee.
Yeah, I also remember Clayne.
Clayne, yes. Yes. I also have a crush on Darren Criss.
Darren Criss, far away from Glee or from Spring Awakening, very far away from Spring Awakening.
Darren Criss, very attractive. But also the Jonathan Groff's character was Lea Michele's backup love interest by the end of the show. So, because she's supposed to end up with Cory Monteith, rest in peace. So,
yeah, then he real life died, the greedy bastard.
Real life died, and the show got
you ruined our plot lines with your real life death. Who do you think you are, Chris Farley?
Legitimately, in the episode where Lea Michele talks about the ending she wanted for her and Finn, it was the planned ending of the show.
Yeah.
Where Finn is a teacher and Lea Michele just shows up and they get back together.
Doesn't Sam become the teacher?
Does he?
And take over the Glee Club?
He does. He does become a teacher with the new... No, a lot of people from the Glee Club become the new teacher. It's like 6 teachers. It's very overwhelming.
Yeah, Kurt, they should have just made the show about Kurt at a certain point.
He did sing Rose's turn, so...
Yeah. On that note, we'll see you next time. Wait, no, cheese ratings. What's your cheese rating of this shit?
Cheese rating. This is pretty good. It's not like great. I enjoyed it. But like, I don't think Spring Awakening is the next great. I don't think Spring Awakening changed the world. So that's just me, guys. I'm sorry. I like Spring Awakening. I don't think it changed who I am fundamentally as a person, though. So that's just me, though. I know this is a bonus episode going in the actual feed, but I'm going to give it a very lame cheese rating.
Go for it.
I want to give it a sharp cheddar. It's solid. It's not my favorite, but it's pretty good.
That's fair. I like Spring Awakening. This documentary it's kind of pointless aside from seeing like, oh, look at those musical numbers. I like that. Lea Michele's vagina, what? Oh, look at this music numbers. Oh, I love Touch Me. What? Spit on you?
I've seen Jonathan Groff sing live, like the songs he sang when he like back in 06, like as an adult, like it compelled me so much. I was like, okay, I love this.
No, I get that. But also, Lea Michele.
But also, they got to the interview parts and I was like, oh, okay, I'm good.
All right, so the only cheese I can give this is sex cheese, which I will not read the definition of on this for your own sake, but I will give you the quotes attached to the Urban Dictionary of it, which is, that's cool, I usually use a dirty sock, or I usually keep an old towel handy to sop up all the sex cheese my girlfriend leaks on me. I don't, that's all you need to know.
I mean, this show is very horny, this is an appropriate ending.
Yeah, considering how, that's a dark ending for Vendla.
Very dark. Also, abortion is healthcare.
Yep, abortion is the right. Females have the right to choose whatever they should do. Fuck
any
you.
Any person with a uterus has the right to choose what to do with their body.
Yep, fuck you, Supreme Court. I hate the Supreme Court!
Shout out to my friend from college who tweeted that video.
I love that movie. John Waters is a king. All right. We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. New episode this Thursday. Funny girl.
Funny girl.
All right. Bye-bye.
The things that we confront in this show are not things you can learn in school. And they're things that help people survive.
That's kind of what got us through it every night, knowing how important it was to tell that story.
This was not about this reunion. This was an opportunity to be with those kids and see who they've become.
I would not have survived the experience if it wasn't for all of you.
I learned that dreams can come true.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.